The call is now live.
Hi guys, it's Yannick Silver here, and I have my guest Joan Shelley on. Joan, are you there?
I sure am.
Hi there. This is our Underground Online Seminar 2 bonus call with Joan Shelley of Knob Gallery. Just a little quick background, then I'll let you, Joan, fill in some of the details. For me, when you think of huge online success stories, probably immediately think of companies like Amazon or eBay and Yahoo and certainly all the big boys and girls. But unless you got an endless supply of cash buried somewhere in your backyard, you're probably not going to out-Amazon. And that's why you've heard it a million times and people have told you to niche. But the thing is, what about micro-niching? And it's not just enough to niche, but if you really want to make a big splash for a low dollars, you can be a micro-niche player, and that's exactly what Joan Shelley did. She's the owner of KnobGallery.com, and her site sells nothing but knobs and pulls. I love that. And it's not just a couple dozen or so. She's got about 150,000 of them in her inventory. Makes her site the single largest source for consumers and retailers. And the last public figure I saw was that it was about $1.5 million in sales. And Joan's grown from a one-woman show to today's staff of 8 full-time and 14 part-time employees spread throughout the country. And probably those numbers are a little bit dated, so I'll let you fill in some of those gaps. But Joan, give us a quick background on yourself, if you don't mind.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm a nurse.
Okay.
And so I started out in nursing.
That sounds pretty high-tech.
That's right. And you learn a lot that way. But I ended up doing some kitchen design as a part-time on the side. And when you do kitchen design, you learn a lot about hardware. And as I was working with customers, they wanted more and more detailed specialty items. And I said, boy, there just has to be a better way to get this for people. Because, you know, carrying 40 books around with you to a customer's houses is not the way to go.
What year was this?
This was in, I think it was 98.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, there really wasn't anything out there in the Internet for what we were doing. I have a daughter who at that time was 16 years old and was working in web development. And I said to her, well, you're working with this company. Let's make a website for cabinet hardware. I think it's the perfect thing. It's easy to ship. It's small. We can do drop shipping. And everybody laughed at me. I said, there's got to be ways to database this. You know, if you're looking for something brass and round, you put in brass and round, you'll get 50 options, and you look at your prices and styles, and you got it. And actually, it was. Getting started online like that was very challenging because there wasn't a good precedent for it. But what we did is we were a very high-tech family,
uh-huh.
And we had about 8 computers, and we had them out on the dining room table and everywhere, and I have 8 children. So we gave everybody a station, and they were all fairly proficient in Word and Photoshop and a few other things, and we started putting together pictures and filling up this whole database.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so when was the site first launched?
It was launched, I believe, probably about a year later. I think it was 98 that we actually put it online, but we did no advertising. We did nothing. We just stuck it there and said, oh, now it's done. And we really at first anticipated that it would be something that I would use when I did a kitchen for someone, and I could go in there and say, here, look, here, this is our catalog, rather than realizing that the Internet was actually out there as a source for sales.
Okay. So, and then give me, tell me about the evolution of the business from 98 on your kitchen tables with the 8 workstations to where you are now.
From there, different people in the family kind of helped us out. My sister worked with us. We ended up, you know, putting in spreadsheets and things, and then we would work together looking at how to sell these things. And all of a sudden, we started getting, here's an order. Oh, what do we do? Here's another order. What are we going to do? And I remember one day looking at each other, and some fellow had called us up on the phone and said, I have a purchase order for this group of knobs, and we looked at each other and said, what's a purchase order? So from there, we just studied and learned and put information together and actually built the back end of the website as we learned about the needs of a business and what purchase ordering was. So the back end of our site is probably even more developed than the front end of the site. And that's what makes our business very, very unique. Our model is pretty much based so that web-based wise, my purchasing agent is in North Carolina.
Okay.
We're in Wisconsin. My web development team is in Missouri and Utah and Idaho.
Okay.
And on the back end of the site, all the orders come through there. We do the processing through there. We have our own intranet communications. We have our own IP phone system. And the phones come through Wisconsin, but depending on who's logged in at the time, they get the phone calls. So we have a very upper-end, high-tech type business in a very small application.
Wow, okay. And now, was that all custom-built as you went along?
It was custom-built. And like I said, it was one of those things that kind of grew like Topsy. We had a vision. And luckily, had some resources as far as very skilled, talented people who could do web design and doing the actual programming. And that's unusual. We did do a beta test for someone who did an IP phone system. They went out of business, but because our programmer was so interested in it, he took over and redid everything so that our system is actually served from here and does a very good job of PBXing everything.
Okay, so now when someone makes a phone call into your office, it gets routed to a customer service rep who could be across the country.
Exactly. It's very much designed like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with SkyBlue.
No, I'm not. Can you maybe explain that a little bit?
SkyBlue is a new airline. I think they're in Washington, D.C., and in the East Coast, and also out in California. They're kind of small, but they don't have a real main office. What they have is a group of people who work out of their homes and work off the back end of their website doing orders and setting up structuring for people as their plane tickets. And they're using the same type of system as we are, right, basically. So their system is a little bit more developed because they had more money.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me go to a little bit broader, and then maybe we'll go into some more details on what you do with that system, because it is pretty fascinating. Let's talk about why did you focus originally on such a narrow product?
Because it's something that I know.
Okay.
And that's the number one thing that I would suggest to people. Don't start an online business unless you really, really know the product or service that you're working with. Otherwise, you're not real. I know hardware. I know hardware inside and out. I can tell you any knob in the book, hundreds and hundreds of companies. If somebody pulled up a picture of something out of the blue, I could probably ID it right down to where it came from. And that makes us a value to people. And unless you're a value to someone, you're not really going to pull it together. All the technology and all of the streamlining that you do is really just to help you be a service to someone. So you need to know what you can do first and then take the technology to make it work better.
Okay, so that's interesting because you were doing, you said, kitchen redesign.
Mm-hmm. Kitchen redesign, but when I did it, we also did the installations.
Okay.
So we installed kitchens, we knew the hinges, we knew the hardware, how things put together, and my husband and I have been woodworkers since high school. So that part of the industry, although it wasn't our vocation, it was kind of an avocation, and we knew it real well.
But you could have said, well, I'm going to do a website all about kitchen remodeling.
Sure. And that would have worked, too.
You think? You
would have to, you see, that's just a service. And how many people are going to ask you questions about it?
Right.
You might get a lot of questions, but I don't know that you'd get any revenue.
Yeah, I love the way that you went so narrow. Like I called it a micro niche. And
sure.
That's great. How many knobs do you have now, knobs and pulls and inventory?
Not in inventory. There's probably 150 to 200,000.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, well, let's go back in time when you were first starting Knob Gallery. How did you start building these relationships with vendors when you're starting from scratch?
It was an evolutionary process. We didn't know too much about building up relationships and started out saying, you know, we're a new internet business. Don't you want to work with us? And everybody kind of put their hand up and said, don't touch us. We don't want anything to do with internet stuff. And what we ended up having to do was to start building credibility, letting them know that we're real, that we're willing to work on and to service our customers. And we had to prove ourselves that we were going to be working for those people. And so, and we still do. We have vendors out there that we work with, and we try and make sure that there's sufficient sales for each one of the people that we've taken on. That's the big thing, is that you've got customers on both ends. Your vendors are your customers as well, so you have to work for them too.
And how are you? How do you try and maximize, you know, vendor relationships now that, like you said, you're trying to make sure that they get enough sales? Are you doing specific promotions for certain
ones?
Yeah,
we do specific promotions. We do a lot of work where people will send us a blueprint, and we'll actually spec out the house for them and fax it back. And when we do that, we try and use the people that work the best with us or are our best customer service.
Right.
And that's an easy thing to do because you know you're going to work well with them and you're comfortable with their product and their services, so you know it'll work well for your clients.
Okay. And advice for someone that wants to possibly get into this business of selling hard products and trying to work with vendors right now? Obviously, the internet's not such an unproven entity like when you were getting started.
It should be a lot easier. In fact, many of the vendors that are out there now have evolved to the point that they have an internet protocol. They know exactly what you want. They have photography developed for you. They say, oh, you're an internet vendor? Here's your packet. When we did it, they didn't know what a JPEG was. They didn't know that there was such things as pictures in different sizes and those type of things. And so we started from scratch, and many things we had to photograph thousands of items all by ourselves, and or we would scan them in a catalog and cut them out by hand with Photoshop. So there was 10 times the work to begin when we started compared to now. If you pick your manufacturers and people to work with, you can just get a packet and go with an internet system from there.
And any advice, I don't know if you've even explored other areas, any advice for finding manufacturers that are willing to work with you?
That I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think your best bet is, like I said, start with something that you know.
So then you know who the manufacturers are.
Then you know who the manufacturers are, and you'll have a better rapport. If you've worked in that industry at all, and they're familiar with you, they're willing to take a chance on you.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you've obviously been running this catalog site for a while. Any tips for, like you were talking about, the JPEGs and the photography and so on?
I think my biggest tip is, for us, we have a very unusual and very high-tech site.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were someone who was not knowledgeable, and I was just starting to try and start a business on my own and to be promoting something, I probably would go to a site that's been pre-designed, because the majority of the things that you need are already built in. And you have a known cost structure, and you have somebody there who's going to support you. In our case, those things didn't exist when we started.
Right.
And everything was very custom. So we've just evolved and gotten very, very custom. And it would be very difficult to redo what we have now. But somebody else coming in could probably walk into a reasonable site with a lot of the functionality that we have, and they'll just either sell it to you on a monthly basis and they keep it up with updates. I think that's, you know, if I were starting new, I would probably look at that.
Okay. And what do you think are some of the key functionalities? I mean, we'll talk about your search function because that's so critical to what you're doing, but what else?
Yes. Search function, information within the site, abilities to put keywords and meta tags in there for searching.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the ability to change your graphics or the ability to change the way that the site's designed. A standard Yahoo site doesn't give you a whole lot of flexibility. When you pull up a site, you say, oh, that's a Yahoo site.
So, yeah.
But I'm sure there are lots of other people out there that have standardized sites that are a little easier to work with or give you a little bit more flexibility in design.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk about your search function because, this on your site is pretty amazing what you've done. Obviously, like with 150,000, 200,000 some choices, you need some way of customers getting what they want pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your thinking that went into this search function?
Well, the search function, I wanted to be able to sort by almost any parameter in a very easy way. And what we've done is we've put maybe four different types of search criteria into our site. The first one is if you happen to know a SKU number or a name or anything about that particular item you're looking for, you can type it in, and this will pull up by ranking the thing that is the closest match, similar to what Google does. You put in a word, and it's going to kind of think, what's the closest thing to it, and it'll pull up lots and lots of options. So it's a little different than most sites where you put in a word, and if you don't get the exact match, you get nothing. This is more designed on the Google model so that if you put in a word, it's going to take the closest guess to what's close to it, and then let you search from there.
That's pretty important, I think, because I get frustrated when I go to sites, and I don't know, I might be searching for a particular wine or something that says no entries or no matching result. Like, ah!
Drives you crazy. And then we have a search that's based on type of product. So if you're looking for knob, a pull, a ring pull, birdcage, you know, whatever you want, you can go through there and look for that type of product. You can look for a collection. If you know a brand name or a collection within a brand name, we've got it all pulled together that way and graphically, so you can look at the pictures of those and go in that direction. Themes, we have a sort on themes. So if you've got something that's ocean-based or...
look at sports,
rustic sports, anything like that, you can just pull it up and it'll go through 150 companies and pull up those pieces that match.
Cool because that really does go to thinking about the way people would be redesigning their kitchen or bathroom or so on. And
exactly. That's a well-used one. The advanced search is also a wonderful thing. What we've done is basically taken a lot of the different fields that we enter when we enter a product and then give you a format that you can say, well, I don't care about anything else, but I want a red knob. And you type in, you know, pull down that red, and it'll go through and find that for you. Or you can choose groups of parameters. I need a red knob that's 4 inches long,
right.
and that'll pull it up too.
Right. Yeah, the funny thing is actually my wife was she's looking for new kitchen hardware. I'm like, well, you know where you need to go.
There you go.
Go here. Because she just got back from Expo. She's like, oh, this doesn't match. I don't want you like this. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Go to our Jen's site.
That's right. Well, right now she should come in here because I've got one section that I bought out of big box stores leftover hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got up to 70% off of retail on it.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good.
You can click through there and go through hundreds and hundreds of styles. Real reasonable.
Very funny. Now, with the search, did you build your own software again in this case?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This was all custom built, and we refine it as we go along because we want it to be more intuitively based than just hard-coded standard.
Yes, I know when I first contacted you, I checked out your site and read up on you and so on. I was impressed with what you've done, and I checked your search function, and now you guys, it looks like you've changed your homepage pretty somewhat dramatically, and the search function looks like it's changed, like you said, more intuitive, like where
right.
I'm looking at choose your hardware, you have a cool thing that I can click on knob, and then that gets highlighted.
That's correct.
And that's pretty neat. And then I go into the other advanced searches.
We have to walk a fine line here because as this knob company, we are kind of a woman-based designer thing. And hardware can be perceived as walking into true value.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to take it from that point to a designer statement type product. And so our front page has to have the look of upper-end, fun, Pottery Barn type thing, yet the functionality and the structure of it has to have the good hardware backbone. And that's what we've been trying to do. So when you come to the front page, you think, ooh, this is fun. This is something I'd really like to do. And how can I get in to find it? But we have lots and lots of engineers and architects who shop on our site because it's easy to find. In the advanced search, if you are remodeling someone's home and you need a 5-inch center-to-center hole spacing, you just put that in and you'll find them.
Okay. So it's been a real... You've been very deliberate with the way that you set up the colors and the feeling of your of the main page.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's to not scare away the women who are coming to browse your site? Or
no, because it's very intuitive.
Uh-huh.
And so we've tried to make it basically working from both ends, being very intuitive as well as very easily functional to find things. Our site has been used for a lot of movie sets. We had somebody from Nickelodeon that called, said they'd been searching for 5 years to get hardware to put their place in New York. And, you know, just crazy things. And it's very interesting, too, to see the number of celebrities that kind of just slip by. You see their names come in through and say, gee, I wonder if that's really who that is.
Oh, you need to capitalize that on that if you can.
That's a good idea, yeah.
That would be pretty awesome to put them on the front page. I don't know if they'd be willing to do that, but...
Nah, you don't want to abuse the privilege. I guess
no.
If they offered, it'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. That's real interesting. All right, let's move on to a different direction then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what you've done a really great job with is harnessing free publicity and local national sources. Can you talk about that and how you've done that?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, a lot of it is luck. And once you hit the first lucky streak, you kind of figure out the avenue that happens and keep working it. We, for some reason, and I think it has to do with the graphics and the design of the site, have been called by many magazines who are doing articles on hardware and design. In fact, I just got a call from Home and Garden magazine. They keep my name, and every time they're doing something that involves hardware, they call me and say, can you send me some pictures for our photo shoot, and we'll put your name in there. Well, that's great. Well, sure, you bet. We send them hardware. They take pictures. They put our name in the magazine, and then we, in turn, copy that magazine and put it on our website. So it gives us more credibility as well.
Right. Yeah, that's a key thing, and I don't know if enough people do that. Is they might get the publicity one time, but then it just disappears.
Right.
If they don't, you know, make a point of it on their website or wherever they're doing business.
Places that people can come back and realize, oh yeah, that's what's going on. We probably have not capitalized enough on the presidential invitation. We got invited to the White House in 2004. Because of the unique business model. And I guess the president was going through Wisconsin looking for somebody who had a unique business model who had been working with the Small Business Administration. And we had just won the Entrepreneur of the Year for Small Business Administration.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. So they pulled us up and used us as an example in one of his speeches, and then invited us to come out to the White House.
And how did you work with SBA?
SBA is a very difficult and frustrating experience, but I've learned one thing. Get a professional to help you. There are people out there that are government-sponsored. SCORE is one.
Mm-hmm.
Every state has different agencies, and you may have to pay them $135 or whatever, but they do all the paperwork. They'll research what you have put down and say, this isn't going to be good enough, fix this.
you
need to write it this way.
Now, is it a loan that you're talking about, or is it something else?
Uh-huh. Yeah, SBA, if you're looking for a small business loan, you need somebody who can really guide you because they're very specific in what they want and they don't want.
Okay.
And small investment for a big payoff. Small business loans are great as far as interest rates and flexibility. And the SBA has wonderful resources to help people as well. Like I said, the Service Corps of Retired Executives.
Right.
They're wonderful. They'll come out and come to your own business and work through your books with you, work through inventories, structural, anything you need. They'll kind of design it for you, and it's all free.
I've heard about that resource before. I've never checked them out. I think it's score.org, I think, right?
I think that's it, yep.
score.org.
And they're great cheerleaders. They get,
yeah.
They've been in business, and they're so excited to see somebody else doing something and say, you know, if you did it this way, it'd probably work better. I've done it before.
I mean, that sounds like a good resource.
I think
people should definitely check that out, and I'm going to check that out, too. And you know, it's funny, as you mentioned, it's a bit of luck with the publicity, and one of my favorite mentors always used to say that luck is simply when opportunity meets preparation.
Exactly.
So
we've been prepared in many, many ways and studied and ready, and when you see it, you've got to jump on it.
And now, are these people, like you just said, a Home and Garden magazine contacting you? Or is it typically because of a search engine listing? That are you pretty high in the search engines?
We are pretty high in the search engines, but originally what we did is we put together a great press release kit that had what I had learned from talking to magazine people and editors is that they almost always have empty spaces in their magazines, newspapers, and that, and need something to fill the space. And they said, you know, if I've got on file some colored pictures and a good story, it's always a way to fill up the newspaper. So I said, good deal. So we wrote up a huge press release. We made a CD with 50 different pictures, different styles, all sorts of glamour shots of hardware, and sent them out to probably about 200 different magazines and newspapers. And this has been 4 years ago, and we're still getting calls on them.
That's interesting. All right, talk about that a little bit. How did you pick those 200 newspapers and magazines?
Well, we did a little research online, asked a lot of people, and got some listings from press agents that had been just as a reference source and said, these are magazines that are within your industry, and here are all the editors. You can find them online as well if you're looking for different industry sources, or if you're familiar with your own industry, you can look up those type of journals. My husband is in the veterinary business, and how would Knobs fit with that? But what we did, I found about 20 different veterinarian-based magazines, and I sent them a CD and an article all about Animal Knobs. We've got about 300 different Animal Knobs, and we got in every one of them. Every one of those magazines put us in because it was cute, unique, and people write all the time from them. Because they're putting in a vet clinic or something.
Right.
They want cats.
So. Yeah. I was going to say, that's very cool and very smart. So now the article is pre-written. You've written the article for them?
Correct. And I wish I had your talent.
Well, you're doing good on your own over there. So the article is it more written as a third-person reporter-type article?
Yes. And we put together kind of a profile, which had about 10 pages, and it took you front to finish on who we were, what we do, everything. And then we wrote three or four different small articles, some of them based for consumer, some of them based for a professional. And so there were different angles. And there'd be several articles that they could just pull and use that immediately. One was about Asian style knobs, because Asian style has been very popular lately, and we have lots of those type of pieces that match. And then we had a glamour shot that goes with it. And so they could just pull up an article and put it right in.
That's very smart. So it's essentially doing 90% of the work for the reporters and publications.
And with the large 10-page piece, they could go through there and pick and choose anything they want to and write their article, and the quotes and everything were already in.
That's great. Yeah, very smart. I like that. If people don't apply that in their own niche, they're certainly missing out.
I think so.
That's really smart. Okay, very cool. All right, what else are you doing to drive traffic to your site? Pay-per-click?
Well, your basic pay-per-click.
Drives
you crazy.
Yeah, you got to stay on top of it. How are you using it? Are you bidding on specific manufacturers? Are you bidding on...
We have about 300 different keywords that we use, and we keep track of which ones are actually giving us sales. A lot of people look at words, but our experience has been if you choose a word that's very expensive and a lot of people go to, not very many people buy from it. People will actually buy from niche words as well as niche products. So if you're looking for brass cup pulse, put that in as a keyword. Now, it's probably only going to cost you 10 cents compared to some words like knobs that are a dollar and a half. But the people who look up brass cup pulse at your 10 cents are going to buy them because they're looking for that specific product. So you've not only gotten a less expensive word, but you've also gotten a sale on a less expensive word.
Yeah, and if you weren't keeping track, you would just lump all your clicks together and think, oh, we're doing fine.
Exactly. Yeah, so you have to know which ones are profitable and which ones aren't.
And you track that through to the sale? Do you track it beyond as far as reorders or anything like that?
I haven't done that, and that would be an interesting thing to do.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is just kind of grab the low-hanging fruit. You know, anybody can go out there and get the really good stuff up at the top, but you got to throw a whole lot of money at it.
Right. Yeah, the dollar and a half a click for a generic keyword that definitely hurts. I like.
We also take advantage of Amazon.
Tell me about that.
We're an Amazon partner, so if you go in there, we have a way to upload a group of our products on a regular basis onto Amazon, and people will go there and they think they're buying hardware from Amazon, but they're not. They're actually buying it from us.
Okay, so I've done this where, for instance, if I buy a video game on Amazon, I get it from Tiger Direct or something, and I had no
exactly. Idea. All Amazon is a reseller. They market and they do a lot of advertising, and they use everyone else as their source for delivering the product. And it is a very good model because you don't pay for any of the click-throughs or potential customers, you only give them a commission on the ones who actually buy.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, so it's almost like an affiliate program in a way.
Very much, uh-huh.
So it's a very...
Kind of backwards, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a very fixed cost per sale, which is pretty good.
Right.
Now, how'd you get involved with Amazon, and why aren't manufacturers doing it themselves?
Well, they recruited us.
Okay.
We've been around for a long time, you know, as things were developing, and contacted us to work with them as a beta site, and we started it and just kind of evolved from there. I'm sure there are ways for people to get in there, but I don't know how it is.
Okay, because you were approached by them. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And once again, that stuff happens. The more you get out there, the more you do stuff, the more people and opportunities come to you.
Exactly. And as we originally talked to you, we've developed our affiliate program, which I never knew much about, but I have really appreciated learning from your articles online and saying, this makes sense.
I noticed that link on your site. I was going to ask you about it.
Yeah.
So it's coming soon. Yeah, I'm happy to help you too with it. We can talk about it another time or via email.
Sure. Yeah, and it's a real interesting structure, and it's a great value for people.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that takes off. You're going to come back next year and be like, we doubled our business.
Well, you know, we actually did something. We took your concept, and you know how your brain starts thinking, if you did this, it's my little, now what's a purchase order? And all of a sudden you've got this great developed program.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the same thing. Well, what's an affiliate? Right now, we've created a way that if somebody wants to be a super affiliate, we will actually create an entire website for them.
That's branded for them.
Branded for them, and everything goes through them. All we have to do is we fulfill, do everything for them, and they get a cut on it.
Ooh, that's great. That's
mm-hmm.
very good. Yeah, I have I know a couple friends of mine in bigger industries that do that, and it works out great.
Well, luckily our vendor. Maybe you can give me some tips on what they're doing to do it. I have about 5 good super vendors right now that are doing that with us.
That's excellent. Yeah, I'm gonna do is when we get off the phone, I'll email you somebody who I think would be a perfect candidate for that.
Great.
It was actually Tim Carter, who was one of our speakers at the Underground too.
Oh,
who, the Ask the Builder guy.
Uh huh.
Oh,
really? Okay, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, he's got a huge following. I'll try and hook you guys up. All right. Let's. Anything else in traffic wise? You said pay per clicks, and what about search engine raw? You talked a little bit about that.
Search engine optimization is a very technical thing that, unless you're knowledgeable about it, it can drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you really want to compete in that market, it's probably a good idea to get a professional to help you. Like I said, luckily we've got some good technical people on our staff, but we still have referred to people who have better knowledge than we do because it's constantly evolving.
Right.
And somehow you've got to have somebody who's got a program that can track all of your marketing aspects and keep it in one location.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's talk about something else, and I think this kind of fits, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of seems to fit your overall philosophy about the site. Like, for instance, the way you call your shopping cart, it's not a shopping cart, it's a portfolio.
That's part of the whole concept of trying to keep it on a little bit upper level, designer-based, and you're creating a whole aura. So when you do a website, you're not just selling a product, you're selling a feeling. We have a store here as well, and when people walk into our store, they just kind of just drop their jaws and say, I think I've walked into a candy store. And that's the feeling we want to have people get when they come to our site.
Is that it's just a complete different experience from what they're...
It's a different experience, and if you call somebody up from our site, you get quick customer service with people who are a lot of fun to talk to.
How did you get those people? Did you hire for attitude first and then?
Exactly, I hired for attitude first as well as recruiting people from design schools. So we don't just have your basic customer service people.
Right.
We've got interior designers, graphic artists. I have somebody who's a landscape architect, but because of the fact that we have a unique business model, I can hire high-end people for reasonable prices because they can work from home.
And so they can be doing whatever else they want to do until a phone call comes in?
You bet. And then they follow up on clients. For example, the landscape architect, she had to drive 30 miles a day and finally said, this isn't worth it. I've got kids at home. You know, I've only got certain hours during the day that I can work. So now she can pick up a phone from home, talk to somebody in Hawaii, which is in off hours, you know.
Yeah.
So takes care of their problems and just works that client through. We've done many hotels and condo units in places like that. And it works very well because that person is already a professional, knows how to sell to an upper-end client in a design aspect and keep them happy, and yet they're still getting what they want, being able to stay home, be around where their kids are, and have flexibility in their life.
That's got to be an important driving factor in your success, I'm sure.
I have two other people that work with me. One of them has a handicapped child, can't be gone for more than 2 hours at a time. She's an excellent salesperson, but she couldn't get a standard job.
Right.
The other one has multiple sclerosis. She can't work for more than 3 hours at a time, but she's a great secretary. She, you know, fast as a whip. So this is the reason why we got called to the White House, because basically we took this huge core of excellent workers who have limited abilities because of home needs, all sorts of different reasons, and allowed them to have the opportunity to work and be very successful.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you see an application for other people's businesses, how they can take people like that with tremendous resources and utilize them in their own business?
Oh, I think that this is a totally untapped resource of people.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who can do tremendous things and love to be involved and will put themselves way over and beyond the call of duty to have some of the needs that they have met. I have another customer service rep who's basically disabled. She can hardly get out of a chair, but, man, she can write email back and forth to people, and she knows the business. Yeah, she sits in her chair, her lounge chair, and has a laptop there, and just writes back and forth and makes lots of sales for us.
That's great.
Yeah.
And how does someone find someone like that, that has these resources to bring?
A lot of networking.
Mm-hmm.
Asking people locally, putting up signs in your own school. You'll find lots of mothers who have children that they've decided they need to stay home with. I've found lawyers and architects and a lot of highly skilled people who are not ready to be out in the workforce yet, but are very interested in being involved in something so that they keep their skills up in some way.
Very good. Any hiring tips?
Ask a lot of questions and look for enthusiasm.
Okay. Okay, very good. Let's get
back. Another good place
to
look for good hiring is public radio. What I've found is that you get a lot of people who are knowledgeable and interested who listen to public radio.
So you mean an advertisement on public radio? Or
usually what they'll have is every couple of weeks they'll put on a program, anybody got a job? And you just call in and say, I'm looking for somebody with these particular skill sets.
Oh.
And you get all sorts of calls.
Intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Going back to your site for one moment, when you know what I'd like that you've done there, and I don't know where you got this, but maybe you'll tell us. So if I go to click on, I don't know, anything, if I go by a dolphin handle,
mm-hmm.
And up is going to come up something else recommending two more options.
Right. And what we did with that is we tried to create relationships with the products in there so that if something happens to be within a particular collection, we'll try and say, here's the piece, and here are pieces that match within that collection. And every time you pull up a product, different things within that collection will come up as options that might be something that goes with it.
Was that all done manually, that you guys looked at, okay, if somebody's buying a cat knob, then you know this other piece will go with it?
The concept was designed manually,
mm-hmm.
And then what we did is created what they call a field when you're entering products and say, this fits within these particular parameters, like the themes. So say somebody's got a cat knob. Here are other cats. And so the system looks for something that people who have purchased that piece before would normally be looking for.
Got it.
And it'll just rotate depending on who pulls it up when. And it's automatically done.
Have you seen that increase your sales?
Oh, yeah. It's the tag-along thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always harping to people about upsells and right at the
mm-hmm.
point of purchase.
We tell them that, too, and try and sell screws and screwdrivers and things that you need that are helpful. They're going to have to go buy them later, so they might as well buy them from you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the batteries included thing.
Yep.
batteries for your kids' toys, and so they might as well get them now.
That's right.
Another thing I see you using on your site is the refer a friend strategy. Has that been profitable? Have you seen that work well for you?
We have, and it's more in the past has been just tell somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in the process right now of creating an affiliate program of sorts from the referral process. And that's something that's in evolution that you might be interested in learning about more later. But the concept came from salons where people go get their hair done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a business card and you pass it out to a friend with your name on it, you get $5 off your next visit, and so does the person who came in from the referral card. So this is another entire avenue of affiliates that are one-at-a-time affiliates, but they're high credibility because it's a friend giving a friend something, and you gain something, and so does the friend.
Yeah, I think that'll work well. It'll be interesting to see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Very good idea. All right, let's see. I've got a couple more questions, and then we'll open up to Q&A if that's all right with you.
Sure.
If I go to your main site right now,
okay.
There is a special at the top.
Uh-huh.
Or I guess pretty big, right in the middle. Right now it's 70% off, huge savings over stock.
Correct.
Is that change? Is that a new offer? How's that work?
What it is it doesn't necessarily change. Right now it's 70%, sometimes it's 50%, but we usually try and keep it 50% or more off of retail. And this is, like I said, some product we bought from a big box store that went out of business. Also product that customers return to us, and because we're primarily a drop ship company, it may cost us more to send it back to the manufacturer, so we keep it in stock and put it on there and sell it off, and we actually get a better margin than if we were to pay the restocking fee and the shipping and send it back to the manufacturer.
So this is an ongoing...
It's an ongoing thing.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
with rotating inventory.
Exactly.
Okay, and you found that to be a big draw when people get there?
It is, uh-huh. And what happens is a lot of times people will find two or three pieces that they need in there,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll go back and buy the matching or complementary pieces at standard prices.
Right. It's something you told me, I think you told me this or I read it, I can't remember which, but I think you told me was that 75% of your orders are from individual customers, so it's not big, huge orders coming in.
That's correct.
I find that amazing that you guys are doing so many transactions that are somewhat small, I guess. I mean, if somebody...
Yeah, I'd love to be able to build it up a little, but in general, our standard order is about $130.
Yeah, I mean,
That's not huge, but and they come from individuals, not necessarily return customers and contractors and that. We want to build up the contractors and those type of things. But we're real excited about this business of having a refer a friend program to be an affiliate type business because we think that that'll make a big splash because that's our clientele.
Yeah, yeah, I think that'll be real interesting to see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I just wanted to go a little bit deeper into. We talked about it at the beginning of the call with a couple of the systems that you've integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about if you could, just how you've kind of integrated this real business online. So some of your systems for coordinating between you got hundreds of vendors, you got tens of thousands of orders coming in, you got your accounting, your purchasing, shipping, all the stuff like you talked about, Wisconsin office, the, would you say Minnesota, North Carolina?
Yeah, North Carolina, Virginia,
Missouri,
Utah, Idaho, all over the place.
Okay, so how'd you do this and what'd you learn about going virtual like this?
We didn't really quite understand the concept when we started. We were trying to keep our costs down. We have two actual stores as well. One of them's about 20 miles away, the other's about 30 miles away. And because of that distance, they're what they call, short-term long-distance phone calls. they're not considered long-distance. They're more expensive than long-distance. And our phone bills were horrendous because going between the two places, and we could not find a way to resolve it. That's why we did a little bit of research into the IP system. I know everyone's heard of Vonage and some of the other IP systems that are out there. It runs on the same principle, but what it does is it allows you to have a full business system that runs on IP, and we have a T1 line coming in. Actually, the majority of this business is in my home.
That's
I don't know if you
cool.
know that.
No,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this business, I'm sitting in my office at the house right now, and in my basement, we've got about 1,500 square feet with cubicles and shipping department and all that type of thing that's kind of evolved. We have our server room, and that takes care of the IP phone system. It has all the professional features.
And just so people realize, IP is internet.
Oh, internet protocol.
Okay, so it's based, it's high speed, like you said, you have T1 connection, which is really, really fast, which is, I don't know, 10 times as fast as cable modem maybe, or 100 times, I don't know what the difference is, but so it's running off of that.
Right, and you can run a system like this with DSL, you know, basic DSL in your home. Everybody that I've mentioned before either has a DSL or a cable modem.
Mm-hmm.
They plug in their computer, they plug in their phone, and your entire office is set up. That's all you need.
Interesting. And that's the way you coordinate all the stuff between. So how does when an order comes in off your website, is it automatically forwarded to a manufacturer? Does someone have to do something?
Well,
it
can be automatically forwarded to a manufacturer, but we prefer to have a human interface in there to double check it and make sure there aren't any errors or questions, because we find that it saves problems in the long run. So our purchasing agent, the one in North Carolina, goes through the orders, looks for problems, either emails the customer ahead of time, and we really pride ourselves in feeling that we have a real close relationship with people, that the internet isn't something that takes us further apart. It makes it very close, and time relationship is very close as well, because people can get answers immediately. We try and resolve the problem before we send in the purchase order and get the product shipped.
Okay.
We could do it the other way, but we have chosen not to. And at some point, maybe we will, but we found that we end up saving ourselves a lot of headaches by reviewing everything first.
Right.
But it does. the order comes in. It's created a purchase order automatically. We review the purchase order, hit another button, and within our system, it creates its own PDF, and it automatically faxes right off of the computer. The fax is shipped out of our main office in Oconomowoc, even if you're in North Carolina, or if I happen to be in a hotel and I have my laptop, I can still do the same system, and it still faxes out of Oconomowoc.
And it'll fax to the particular manufacturer to drop ship.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then we have all of those purchase orders are then saved by PDF in a file, and we can find them again, and we have an actual hard copy of what was sent.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you also do shipping out of the house?
Is there
small inventory that you keep in-house?
Yeah, somewhat. Most of it is these overstock products or things that come back to us. The rest of it, you know, we also find that sometimes we'll consolidate orders. If somebody orders from four different manufacturers, it's not cost-effective to drop ship from all four of them. So we may save up for a week and get a large order from several manufacturers, sort them, and then ship them out from here.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think the last question that I should get two more questions. Second to last question. I know you mentioned your retail stores a couple times. I think that's really something interesting and innovative that you got going on. And you started the retail after the online business, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We started afterwards, and a part of the reason is because when you're purchasing from vendors, they want you to be showing their product. Well, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Or they may require that you have displays. We found people in the area here wanted to have a place to go, so we said, oh, we'll start a showroom. So we don't actually sell anything there. And when people go into the store, we have a scanning Palm Pilot
uh-huh.
that's attached to our database. And you can scan a product, and it comes up with the price. So if we need to change any prices, we only do it online, and then anything in the store will be updated automatically.
So there's never any price tags on the item. It's just
no price tags. Everybody who comes in to want to look around, they get given a Palm Pilot, and they just scan with it, and they can find out what the prices are.
And they can order right there with their Palm Pilot, too?
Yep. They can do it with the Palm Pilot or go to one of the customer service people. We have several computer stations, and they can go to the computer station, and it goes through the exact same process.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm a customer, and I walk into your storefront. How big is your store, by the way?
About 2,000 square feet.
Okay, so not too big. So more of a boutique.
Exactly.
And so I walk in and I find the knobs that I really like, and so I've scanned them, and then I walk over to a computer and it's self-service that I order them, or is it?
You can self-service. Like I said, we have three computer stations, and if you are comfortable, and many people are, they can sit down there and work on it themselves. If they'd like help, we have customer service people to walk them through and make sure the computer works the way they expect it to.
Right. You know, that's really interesting, the hybrid model. And then can they order from your website, too, from those computers?
You bet. That's the only way we do order.
Okay.
Like I said, if it's an order going through, either the customer places it on the website or the customer service rep places it on the website. And like I said before, because it's a technologically advanced type site, we work from a back end as we're selling. And each customer service rep is then attached automatically to the order. So their name goes along with it as if they order it online.
Wow, very, very interesting. Okay, last question for me, and then I'm going to turn it over to Q&A, see if anyone has some questions on the line.
One other thing that you might be interested in.
Yeah.
Our second model, and we are developing this model as well, is hybrid in a sense, but it's also kind of a symbiotic relationship, similar to Starbucks coffee inside Barnes & Noble's. We have taken our shop in a mini version and put it in the middle of a cabinet shop so that people coming in to buy cabinets can buy high-end hardware and they don't have to go out to a big box store.
That's
so
smart. I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of a joint relationship. It saves both of you on cost. We don't have to have anybody manning it because the people designing there know where to look for our products. They get a cut on it because we don't have the marketing fee for them. And so it is, in a sense, an affiliate fee that they get. But they also get the huge benefit of not losing customers because they have to go elsewhere to find what they want.
Yeah, I like that. That's very cool. That's a great, like you said, symbiotic relationship or synergy. And that's fabulous.
It works real well, and that's one of the things we're kind of evolving with right now, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, very, very good. This question I always tend to ask at the end, and it sometimes makes people chuckle. And if you're starting all over again, what would you change and do differently?
Well, we probably never would have started if I had a clue what we were doing.
Well, that's pretty honest.
Like I said, we had no
ignorance
clue what we were getting
into. Right?
Exactly. Oh, this will be easy. This will be fun. There's a lot of bumpy roads in there. But I think unless you have a lot of knowledge, technology, and people to help you, go to a canned system. Because you will have nothing but a nightmare if you don't have enough understanding and somebody to help you with it.
Okay.
And you want to be selling your product or service. You don't want to be
fiddling with the technology.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's sage advice. Okay, if you got a little more time, can we open it up to questions?
Sure.
Okay, Andrea, if there's anyone with a question, we'll take them now.
Yes, sir. Please press 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time if you would like to ask a question. We have no participants pressing 1 at this time, Mr. Silver.
Okay, let's give them maybe another minute. If this is your chance to ask Joan questions now, so I'm not going to be able to get her on the phone another time. So if you guys have anything that you want to ask her, go ahead. And if not, then
we do have one participant.
Okay.
Hold on one moment while I get their information.
All I'm excited. There's a couple of really cool things that you guys are doing, Joan. The little store inside the big store is great. The refer a friend affiliate program is going to be fabulous, I think.
I hope so.
I apologize. Our first participant is Marcia Hale. Please address the question.
Hi. I'm real interested in your whole drop shipping concept, and it sounds like in your little store where people come in and they're just ordering, they're going to have a wait period for when they receive their merchandise. And how long is that generally? And have you had people come into your storefront and say, I need it today, and be able to get it today?
Usually the today issue is not what they're going to get. And if that's what they want, they'll go to a big box store and pick it up. We do carry some, two or three items that are real standard stock pieces that they can get right away. But we also have great relationships with our vendors and warehouses that if somebody wants something, we'll have it tomorrow. And usually that's quick enough. Many of the designer pieces, in any case, you're going to wait 3 to 4 weeks for.
Okay.
No matter where you try and find it. But we do work with several warehouses that will give us service that the product will show up the next day.
So they'll FedEx it out to the customer immediately?
Well, they're close enough that they can send them by UPS or mail, and they'll show up the next day without the express charges.
Oh, that's right, because all the customers are pretty much local to
your
area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Any other questions, Marcia?
Well, on your website, then, is that the same kind of thing that because I've gone to your website, and if I'm going to order, say, the mermaid knobs, which I really thought were beautiful, and a friend of mine is redoing her bathroom in a mermaid style, I'm referring her to your website. So if, you know, and we ordered those, and I would assume that's not something that's, like, in stock all the time. It's
that's
kind of
correct.
A high-end one. So, again, if I even ordered from the website, am I going to have that long of a wait, or?
It would be exactly the same wait time from the website as it would be from the store. The only difference is that from the store, some of our standard items that aren't custom will show up the next day because it's within the one-day shipping area from our warehouse.
Cool. Well, you've given me a lot of really good ideas because I, too, have a niche market and have just closed my retail store, as a matter of fact.
What are you working in?
Well, actually, I'm in the craft industry, arts and crafts, and I'm in a very niche market of it. And,
wonderful.
I closed my retail store. The overhead killed me. I'm going to go online and then do kind of a traveling sort of art circus kind of thing for kids and adults.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and so it's a, you know, it's not a brand new concept, but it is kind of in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And we do want to take most of our hard product online, and I'm working with vendors to convince them that it's okay if I don't have a storefront.
Joan, can you address that? Because you alluded to that originally which is one of the reasons you created your retail store. Is that such a big deal now to have retail and display?
There's two completely different sets of customers. You have a set of customers who do care that you have a store, and the rest of them who don't care at all. It gives you a little bit of credibility. But there's just some people who will stop and shop in a store and some who want to shop online. And sometimes you can't mix the two.
Right.
I can't guarantee that a store necessarily gives you enough business to cover the overhead because that's a difficult thing to do.
Right. And what about vendors? Is that important for them?
It is important for our vendors. And I don't know what other vendors you're working with, but having had a store, you may have already gained the relationships and don't need to display their products. But many of our vendors,
that's what I'm kind of hoping for. And a lot of the industry has gone online anyway, so I'm finding it a little easier.
That's great.
Than I thought it would be.
Good.
Excellent. Thanks, Marcia. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. This has been really great.
Good.
Thank you.
Andrew, any further questions?
Yes, sir. Our next question comes from Elaine. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Elaine with Freebie Freebie. Hi, Yannick. Hi.
Hey, Elaine.
Hi.
Kind of a two-part question for you. where were you at in terms of volume when you decided to give the offline store a try? I thought that was a really interesting model to combine the website with a walk-in location for people.
We were probably about 2 years into the website, and we had gotten into some fairly good sales internet-wise, but I was having people from all over the local area come to my home to see boards of knobs that I had hanging up in one bedroom. And I was concerned that we were going to get in trouble in the neighborhood because we had so much retail trade, and said, you know, if there's really going to be this much business, let's just go ahead and try a store. And it just so happened that I ran into a situation of a store that was in a strip mall in a boutique area that just kind of fit what we needed, and it was very scary to do it, but we took a chance on it.
Go ahead, Elaine.
And would you say, I mean, just in terms of maybe percentages, how much that's added in terms of business?
Probably about 25-30% to our total sales.
That's great.
Now, the one thing about it is 25-30% of our total sales, but it's a higher dollar volume, because when people shop in person, at least in our industry, they spend more. And the reason is because you may be working on an entire house rather than one room.
Okay. And the second part was actually just a suggestion. I think that the refer a friend model is great. It's actually the way that my site, I guess, makes the majority of its money. And I wish you the best of luck with it. And if you're looking for anyone to help you out with that, I'd be happy to.
Oh, that sounds great. And what you said, your site is Freebie Freebie?
It's freebiefreebie.com, and it's based on a referral model. In order to get a certain reward, which is generally, you know, a consumer electronic. In your case, it would be a discount on, you know, like on a current purchase, on a future purchase, you know, maybe a gift. People are required to refer friends to the site, and it definitely goes a lot further in terms of credibility, and can, I know in my case, it's definitely lowered the cost per acquisition in terms of, you know, getting people to the site.
Wonderful. Well, great. And how do you spell your site?
It's freebiebie, two times, freebiefreebie.com.
Got it. Well, we'll look it up.
Thanks so much, Elaine.
Thank you.
Anyone else, Andrew?
Yes, sir. We have one final question at this time, and it comes from Beverly. Please go ahead.
Yes, Yannick, this is Beverly, and I had attended your Washington seminar, and that was very valuable information.
Great.
And then, Joan, my question to you is, I've been in the retail business and service business for many years, and what the most difficult thing that we are experiencing and trying to get set up is basically locating a reputable IT person who can handle all the technical aspect of the type of website that we need, and then setting it up for customer service or automatic feedback for answers that may come in. We have a good product line set up and through our manufacturers. So I want to know if you and or Yannick can maybe give us some suggestions on either how to or specifically suggest some companies that might be able to help us with all of our IT work.
My suggestion is it depends on how much money you have. If you go to a company who does it, their business model is that they're making money, they're paying somebody else, and they've got overhead. So you've got $150, $200 an hour, which is dangerously high.
Yeah.
If you can find, go to a local college and find somebody who's studying computer science, especially someone who's in probably a graduate program and needs, what's it called? An internship or a project.
Mm-hmm.
I've found people that way that are excellent and are much more excited about it, and sometimes you'll even get them free.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good writer and can put together a good resume for them, it's good for them and it's good for you too.
The one place I'd possibly recommend is actually Craigslist.org. You'll be surprised at who you can turn up there. and that's a real interesting place to get hiring people for all kinds of stuff. And of course, there's always Elance or rentacoder.com.
That's interesting.
You know, depending on how comfortable you feel with outsourcing it to around the world, really, because Elance or Rent-A-Coder has a lot of people in India or Eastern Europe and so on. So it all depends.
Yeah. One of the things that I've found to be a problem with putting out smaller projects like that is unless you have somebody who understands the whole concept of your site, one person may be able to deal with one project, but it's how it relates to everything else.
Right.
So they have to kind of have an overview of what you're trying to accomplish and be able to keep it tied together.
Well, and Yannick, to sort of emphasize a little bit more on what I had learned from your seminar was to align yourself with maybe some sort of a joint venture with maybe an IT person where maybe then they have more of an interest to invest their time knowing that the rewards will be great.
Yeah, that's a possibility, sure, because then it's you're not paying on an outlay out front,
right.
but a percentage
mm-hmm.
later on. But you know, I found that most tech people, you can get a very competent tech person for $50 to $75 per hour,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to give them a percentage of sales. But if you absolutely have no upfront money that you want to put forward, then that's the way of doing it. But don't be too quick to give up a big percentage at all.
Sure. Well, and I started with the college concept and not realizing it was during final exams and gave the college students some money up front to get started and didn't meet our deadline. I ended up having to go somewhere else. But I'm helping him through college, so I'm calling it a donation.
It's a scholarship.
Yes, Katrina's career. Well, I'm working on mine, so... Okay. Well, we'll try some of those suggestions and see what we come up with. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Andrew, any further questions?
There are no further questions at
this
time, sir.
Great. Hey, Joan. Thanks very much for taking the time out to get on the phone and give us some insight into your business. I know for people that are interested in the drop shipping and selling real tangible products, you have some really extraordinary insights. And plus, even if you're not selling real tangible products, there's some interesting stuff you can take away from what you've told us today.
Well, thank you very much.
So I appreciate it, and continued success, and keep me posted if you need help with your affiliate program.
I would love to. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Jared.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.